to Quarrelogues. This is an eclectic mix of monologues set in quarantine times of 2020. Yeah, we're still in it. Yeah, it hasn't got any better. But it will. It will. These pieces are written by and voiced by some of the loveliest people in the world. And me, Sarah Golding. Hello. Now I want to start with a poem I wrote just this morning. It's December the, I think it's Thursday. But yeah, I wrote this morning when I didn't quite know what to feel or how to start today. Here we go. It's called Smile. Force a smile, then think of something joyful. The smile gets real and you feel good, feel quite playful. Let the feeling journey through your body to your heart and keep the warm smile feeling so today can truly start. And it actually works. If you do that thing like as a fake smile and then you really think of something that you love or somewhere you were that you love with someone you love, it becomes a real smile, and that's that difference between the fake and the real makes you feel. Hashtag have a good day. So there we go. I hope you feel a bit smilier anyway. So onwards to the first beauteous pen list of words in a perfect order. Written, penned by the inimitable Jacqueline Ashman, who wrote last episode's Housemate's Tale, which I very much loved. This one is called Perfect Ten, and it's performed by the wondrous Scottish tones of Fiona McKinnon, who is also a perfect ten. Enjoy!
Oh. Oh. Oh, shut up! Right, Tuesday. What delights will Tuesday bring me? Monday was a complete washout. So, structure. Structure, structure, structure. Isn't that what they say? Or am I thinking of location, location, location? God, I do so hate property porn. Just makes me so dissatisfied with what I've got. Okay, stop it. Time's a-wasting. No, come on. Plans. Make plans. Plans for Tuesday. Okay. The time is now. Where's that clock? 7 minutes to 8 in the morning. What are we going to do today to fill it with joy, happiness and achievement? Tuesday. Tuesday. Oh, nothing on the telly. Nothing on the telly at all. Ooh, hold on. Merlin's on at 8 o'clock tonight. I like that. That bloke from the coffee ads is in it. I like him. I like him a lot. I don't like coffee. Well, I don't like coffee at all, but I remember buying it anyway in the hope that someone like him would pop round to borrow some. Never did. Rotten stuff. I think I've still got a jar of it somewhere. I really must throw it out. I mean, it's been 30 years. And he hasn't popped round yet. Okay, so, Merlin at 8 p.m. That runs for an hour, half an hour to pot around the kitchen after that. Maybe do a hot water bottle. Yep, 9:30 isn't too early to go to bed with a good book in the middle of winter. In fact, it's quite a respectable time to go to bed with a good book. Not in the middle of summer, of course. Then it's sad. But in the middle of winter, if it's a really good book, it's more than acceptable. I wonder if I've got anything decent to read in the house. Bound to have something. That's an idea. I could spend hours looking for a good book to read. That's a plan. Not a good one. Find a book, watch the telly, go to bed. No, come on. You're better than that. Structure. Come on. You can do it. You're an intelligent, educated woman. Structure. Structure. A plan. Ha! Got it. I need a list of 10 things to achieve today. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. 10 things. Just 10 things. 10 little things. Right. Paper and pen. Oh. Here we go. Got it. 10 things. One. One. Chores. I need to put some washing in, do the washing up, take the rubbish and the recycling out, and clean the goldfish bowl out. Although, I haven't had any fish in it since July, so maybe that one could be lumped in with the recycling. But that's good for number one. One. Chores. Tick. Two. Sarah's birthday card. Get a card, write it, post it. Where am I going to get a birthday card? The supermarket cards are rubbish, and I can't send her a rubbish card. Hers to me are always really good. Although, she did send me the same card this year as last year. No, you can't do that to her. Send her a good card. Or maybe just ring her up on Saturday and sing Happy Birthday down the phone to her. Yes, that's so much better than sending a rubbish card. You could make her a card.
Who are you kidding?
So, two. Find the box of random birthday cards and send one to Sarah with a note in it saying you'll give her a call on Saturday. 2A. Check with Kate that Sarah's birthday is on Saturday. 3. Put charity bag stuff up into the loft, which means that when they open again, you can go back up into the loft to get them down. So that's actually an investment in next week's list. Nice one. 4.
4444.
4.
4. 4.
4. Do half an hour's Italian. You've got some old cassette tapes somewhere. And if we ever come out of lockdown, you might go to Italy. And it'll be great if you can speak the language. Molto bene. 5. French. See 4 above. No, that's cheating. 5. Do some exercise. You've got 2 Divina's DVDs still in their cellophane that Sarah bought you for Christmas. Time you did something about that. Hang on. Sarah bought me 2 fitness DVDs. Cheeky mare. What's she suggesting?
Right.
2. Send Sarah a random birthday card. No note about calling to sing on the date. Delete 2A. 6. Put new zip in red skirt. Where am I going to get a 7-inch zip in the middle of lockdown? Oh, throw used up pen away. No, that'll come under 1. Chores. 6. Defrost freezer. Oh no, that's another one for chores. 6. Wash neck curt. No, chores again. 6. Make appointment for dental checkup. Oh, can't do that. They're only taking emergency appointments.
6.
Oh, stuff it. 1. Sarah's birthday card. 2. Do some exercise. 3. Listen to your language tapes. 4. Do the washing up. 5. Put the washing in. 6. Stuff into the loft. 7. Defrost freezer. 8. Take the recycling out to the garage. 9. Watch Merlin. 10.
10.
Got it. 10. Right list.
Now that is grounded up writing just there, isn't it? And if you love her writing as I do, Jacqueline has written a few amazing books. They're novels, they're beautiful. If you would like a last minute stocking filler, birthday present, I love you, read this present. Or if you just love a good read, please do go search out The Woman Who and The Collective by Jacqueline Ashman. I'm sure you can have it tomorrow if you put it quickly into your shopping basket from those people working out of the biggest forest in South America, all those women who look right buff. Yeah, I'm talking about Amazon. You'll find it on Amazon. Find them. Get them.
And of course, do support your local bookstores where you can.
And Fiona McKinnon is in hot demand, but available to do all of your voice acting needs. Do have a look at links to her work on the show notes. And all people on this episode and more. And employ her forthwith. She is as amazing as she sounds. It's true. Thank you, Fiona and Jacqueline, for lending your talent to this, my ickle project, Slice of Golding Sun. Now, on to something I thought was fun, but a comment on our times. When weddings were still secretly going ahead in April, May, and March this year and beyond, and well, they became known as super spreaders, huh? Now, I thought it would be groovy to explore through the eyes of a child. So, here's Harold at the Wedding by Sarah Golding.
My mum is sore in her head and her chest, she says.
I can hear her funny loud breathing from my bedroom. It's like... Darth Vader. My Yoda clock says 1914, and I know that was a year of the start of a war. And that says, we are in a war, son. It's a pandemic. We need to be sensible. But I don't live with my dad. I live with my mum. And she is sick. And I am not sure what to do. Maybe I should climb into bed and give her a cuddle. Get her some water. Yes, I'll do that. I was trying to think when Mum got sick from we were at a wedding at the weekend. Not the weekend, just gone, the one before that. Auntie Pam got married. Mum said it was about time and they should have put it off because of the virus, but then Auntie Pam said if that happened, they'd never get married. So we went. There was 100 people there. A big rustle and bustle of dresses and suited booted legs and white tablecloths slung lazy like sad ghosts over tables I could hide under. They Lego with my cousin Stuart and Alice, and Alice was taken for a nap in her hotel room and Stuart weed in a plant pot and then came back and played under the table with me without washing his hands. Until we had to move for the wedding lunch where it was hot and the windows started steam up and many people spoke and laughed and loads of glasses were chinked and I got a present for being a page boy. More Lego, and the room smelt of bacon and hot breath, and the windows steamed up because it was raining all the day, and there were trees inside, which I thought was weird. And Mum said it was for decoration, and also helped there to be more oxygen in the room, which I didn't understand. And then they cleared all of the tables, and everyone, including Mummy, enjoyed the free bar. And I got a fizzy drink, and a milkshake, and another milkshake, and felt sick because we was dancing together and doing the hokey cokey, and it was so much fun and noisy and happy and dizzy, and Mummy fell on the floor on her bottom and everyone laughed so much, and it looked like my mum had wet herself, but she said it was Auntie Pamela's white wine. And Uncle Ronnie's friend Barry said he told her to drink that up later, and it was weird. A few people wore masks and sat outside all the time, and Mum said they were just grumpy, and if they didn't want to come they shouldn't have. An Uncle Fred left early with Stuart and Alice, saying in a very shouty voice, we shouldn't have come, there's a pandemic on, and this is crazy, which was annoying because also then I was the only child left. Auntie Pam didn't hear him, she was too busy dancing to car wash and a Mocky Rainer. I didn't ask her what a Mocky Rainer was, and she didn't stop smiling all day. Her face must have hurt. Mine hurt after half an hour of you've been framed, and she was smiling all day. Yes, everyone hugged Auntie Pamela. Everyone danced with her. She carried me for Dancing Queen by ABBA. We love that song. And she looked beautiful and put lipstick on my cheek all smeary. And Mum said I looked like the Joker. And I said I wasn't feeling very funny. And everyone laughed. And we all danced and danced and danced and laughed and danced until my ears were booming. And everyone had a really cool time. And our feet hurt. So when we sat down, I made a towel of placemats from the bar as Mummy sat there with that friend of Uncle Ronnie trying to massage her feet, and she had vodka and cokes, quite a few, and I was up until way after 10 o'clock, until Grandma came to get me and take me to her house for sleeps. I was very tired and had too much fizzy and milkshake, and my tummy hurt, but now I hurt in a different way, and I'm only 6. I think Mum said that was what gave Grandma the virus, that she came to the wedding to get me and that I stayed at her house and that I didn't know it, but I had the virus, and then that I caught it at the wedding and I stayed at Grandma's for a week because Mummy wasn't well after the wedding either, and Grandma said Mummy's mentally healthiness was important. I didn't know what that means, but I think Mummy needs to drink more water and watch her health and brush her teeth twice a day and get exercise. Yes. Grandma tutted a lot when she told me of the 100 people at that wedding. Over half contracted the nasty virus from the dancing and the sharing of space and singing and not social distancing for many hours. And of that 50 people, there were 42 different families represented. That didn't even include the staff of the hotel who were there too. And Grandma said, of those 42 families who all took the virus home from the wedding as a consequential of that, Grandma said, perhaps upwards of 15,000 people were affected. 15,000, because 42 different homes had 5 different friends they saw 5 more, and those 5, and so on, and contracted the virus from people who had been on that illegal gathering in the pandemic. And aren't they? Covid idiots, Grandma said, because people got sick who hadn't even been near the wedding themselves. Which is stupid and sad, isn't it? It is very contagious, Mum said, which means it passes to humans very quickly. I think I got it from Auntie Pam. I mean, 15,000 people. There's only 200 at my school, and I hate standing up in assembly in front of even that many. So, how many? It's 15,000. I can't even count that high. 15,000. Mum said when she wasn't so sick, she said many wedding guests were meant to quarantine and didn't, and they kept on getting to work and parties and parks, and she said when she could talk in full sentences, she said she thinks at least 130 people linked to it have died. Yeah, and they weren't even people at the wedding like I was. Mum said people didn't wash their hands properly and were singing in each other's mouths and sweating and rubbing and kissing and wibbling and wobbly hugging. Yuck. And folks at the wedding all went to work the next day and on the tubes and on trains and jumbo jet planes back to America and France and schools and jobs in marketing and administration and the men in office working in the next few days. Symptomatic. Mummy taught me that word, and I've heard it on the news. That means at that time they weren't showing any signs of the virus or symptoms, and then, boom, sick, can't breathe, dead. My mum can't breathe very well. I'm very worried. We got so many phone calls. I asked Mummy why we were getting so many phone calls, and she said because people were selfish and didn't think. Mum said we shouldn't have gone, it shouldn't have happened. She always cries when she talks about it now. She said we were all too close for too long and that the wedding was a super spreader. I said to Mum super things usually were good things like Superman or super cool, and she cried and hugged me and she said, I know, my boy. And that was before, when she had the energy for hugging back. Auntie Pamela spent all her honeymoon holiday time in hospital. They say she's getting better. I hope she does. You know, Uncle Ronnie was okay, but he looked so thin and sad on FaceTime calls to Mummy from outside the hospital. And his hair looks like a bush, and his face is like a bit of a beard, but not a very good one. I could see it because he wasn't even wearing a mask, and there were other patients near him smoking and coughing and laughing and talking, and I was thinking, why are you not thinking what I am thinking, you Uncle Rolly? Wear a mask! The clock says 1918. I learnt at school in lockdown that was the end of the war, World War One. I wonder if this pandemic will take 4 years to end, or will it be over by Christmas? So I had the virus, and it felt like a bad cold. I was staying at Grandma's when I got shivery and sleepy and hot and cold and sore and a little teeny rash of itchy. I couldn't smell anything, which was weird because I love Grandma's perfume and she wears a lot of it. Wore a lot of it. Today's Grandma's funeral in the morning. 9:30 a.m. It took 6 days from the wedding to her death. Feeling unwell, getting hot, can't breathe, hospital, heart attack, 1, 6. And now it's her funeral. She's gone. That's how I understand that she's not here. She's just gone. And I don't want to go. And I lie here next to my mummy. Can you hear her? And her heart is beating so fast. It's like a bomb ticking up and up and up, and it might fly out of her chest and power itself in the moon and explode into a billion, billion, trillion stars. I don't want mummy to leave me too. I don't want anyone to see my mummy like this. I love you, mummy. Get better. I don't want anyone to see her sick. Because maybe it's my fault she has this, and maybe people blame me for killing Grandma.
Oh, bless him. So, yeah, just think before you feel compelled or pulled to go to bigger gatherings. Even now. Grand Christmas, if you're listening, when the episode releases. Though I must say, I cannot wait for my niece's wedding next year, which has been postponed from this year. Hello, Matt and Lou, I adore you. Let's hope these vaccinations make a big difference so we can celebrate you in style. Yes, can't wait to do my Sarah dancing. Our next piece is slightly horrified. Oh, sorry, stop that. Oh, and I must say, if you are someone who doesn't like the thought of blood or people dealing with blood, then maybe read the transcript first and just see how you get on. Our next piece is called Boxed In by another newcomer to the audio world, but someone who has been playing in community theatre and been a dancer in New York and, oh, one of the stars of my summer project, Anyone for Coffee, which you should all listen to if you're into women's health in any way, shape or form, Diane Alexander. Now, Diane has written and voiced this fun piece on meeting someone, let's say, unexpected, whilst alone in your flat. Boxed In by Diane Alexander.
It was a lack of concentration moment. Chopping red peppers. Red peppers. So red that I didn't even notice the blood or the pain. Because, well, you know, life sucks right now. And I feel I've lost all sense of feeling from the toes up. There was a moment of confusion. Mouth watering red pepper spilling its deep red juices across my chopping board. A sickening snap of realization. Red peppers don't bleed. So what is this pool of claret I see before me? Knife, a razor-sharp knife of mine. What juices do behold me? How doth blood flow from the succulent capsicum? And why should it be that I, a mere mortal of lowliness, be gifted with such an extreme rare specimen? From the exotic fruit garden.
God damn. Sod the pepper. The pepper isn't bleeding. It's me.
Not the first accident I have had since being boxed in. I mean, I've not wet the bed or anything like that. Stubbing toes, walking into things, smacking my head on the cupboard, dropping heavy crockery and pans on my feet.
Well, yeah. That's all been part of my casualty repertoire.
Oh, carry me to a medicine man, for thy broken bones and thy bleeding torso. Repair me before thine body splitteth open and thy limbs fall apart.
It's been tough. No, actually, it's been crap. I want to say it's been bearable, but you know it hasn't? Not always. The novelty, if one can call it that, more like divergence. Well, that wore off quite a few weeks back. Huge intentions and working out every day and getting fit with, you know, Mr. Muscle Man became a chore like after only, I don't know, 3 days. I had never bounced my boobies up and down with such vigor before. So why was I going to do it now? Just because half the nation, and the government, I might add, says we should get fit and healthy. I am fit and healthy. Well, sort of. I don't need to prove anything to anyone. You know, flaying the jugs about is not exactly my idea of a great workout. Well, the roots started to appear after a few weeks, and as my hair got longer, well, there were less sexy bouncy curls and more kind of ropey straggly bits. Other hair grew out of pores I never even knew existed, and my skin started to look a little bit dry and scaly. A bit like a hippo with dermatitis from soap and water overuse. I slapped on the old moisturizer every day, but I still look like a wrinkled old witch. In my defense, you know, I talk to myself. I mean, hell, why not? There's no one else in the house to talk to. And to be honest, I quite enjoy it. It makes for interesting listening. I can't believe how argumentative I can be and opinionated. God, I can be difficult at times. Great discussions sometimes, though. In my defense, which contradicted my opinion, And I love the debate. Can't believe what valid points I really made. I really should discuss things with myself more. But if I'm honest, as the weeks have gone by, things are starting to get a little, well, dull. The weather has been so hot. And I've been stuck at home, all alone. Me, by myself. Me and the walls. Me and the bugs. Me and all those horrible flies that nest in the eaves. Me and that stupid TV. Me and, well, me. You know, and life has taken on a new normal as I've become a recluse. A hermit. You know, a mad one in a box of a little cuckoo. A little more weird. A loner. A lonely. A little lighter. And I feel an easier person, you know, to live with. Either that or I've just got used to not being around people. So anyway, my finger is ditching blood and casting it out of my body like a drain pipe gushing out water on a rainy day. I'm searching, and I mean searching, because I'm pretty sure I haven't got any. Well, not in the house anyway. Maybe in the first aid kit in the truck for, you know, some kind of sticky thing or something that will bind this overzealous gash together and stop the goddamn bleeding. Anyway, I wrap a piece of kitchen roll around it, which is a bit pointless really, because, you know, it's not a thick, plainy one sheet thing, just a cheap dollar shop one, so it isn't gonna absorb very well, and basically the blood is just oozing out like a overspilling gutter. I'm feeling a bit queasy. There's a lot of spots across the floor. It kind of looks like a bit like a Hansel and Gretel trail. And there it is. Tap, tap, tap. Huh? Tap, tap? On the window? I'm on the first floor. Who the hell is tap, tap, tapping my window? Well, I figure it must be my imaginary friend throwing stones up to get my attention. Or a phantom car kicking up grit from the road that's like half a mile away. Or maybe the resident pigeon. I often get him tapping at my window at 7:30 at night to borrow, you know, a cup of sugar or something. Seriously, you know, I'm bleeding here. I really haven't got time for trivial chit-chat with, you know, unknown beings. I'm trying to prepare dinner, you know, cook it and eat it before I actually bleed to death. I stop rummaging. I look up. Unbelievable. Stood there. Arms folded, looking all wide and drawn, impatient and irritable, with his black cape and his gothic eyes staring at me. Count Drac. It's a bit early for you, isn't it? He glares at me. You know, I thought you lot only came out at night. Yeah, I know, it is night, I know, but it's kind of early night, not night-night, as in late night, you know, like midnight night sort of night. He just stares at me. So, you know, I kind of stare back. What? Can't you see I'm busy? I'm bleeding everywhere and I can't find... Of course. That's why you're here. You smelt it, didn't you? I should have known. You do know you can't come in. Oh, don't give me that look. You can't. I'm isolating and I am shielding and I'm still bleeding and still rummaging. Oh, lots of ings, including starving. And trying to cook dinner and all sorts. Oh, you know, I must have one in the house somewhere. Surely there he is. You know, Pritstick? Super glue? Will that work? Where is the goddamn super glue when you need it? Why aren't you wearing a mask? Don't you know there's a pandemic on? You need a face covering. What do you mean you can't wear one? Everybody has to wear one. You can't work with one on? Oh, I guess you can. Well, we need to stay 2 meters apart, so don't even think about getting close. You know, I could pop it on a saucer and leave it outside the door. But you better put some gloves on or something or use that antibac because, you know, I don't think I'm infected or anything. But I could be asymptomatic or something and, well, you'd never know. What? This virus thing? Well, it's a nasty, disgusting disease that came from bats. Why are you asking? You should know. You're here to deliver it? Oh, great. Thanks. You know what? I don't want it. You know, no, I don't care if you want to give it to me. I don't want it. Well, you know, I just won't open the window. And you can't give it to me. No. You're not listening. I don't want it. What do you mean, sharing? You have to give me something if I give something to you. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want what you want to give to me. Come on, seriously, that's not a fair swap. You know, when a kid sulks when you won't give them what they want, you know, he had that look that it's like, oh, it's not fair. Life is so cruel. You know, that kind of look that, you know, I almost caved in and opened the window. Look, you know, I'm just happy to give. I just don't want anything back. Just take the blood and just, you know, just go. Well, you know, I took the sodden piece of kitchen roll away from the cut. It was kind of starting to heal and close up, but not really. So I said, you know, look, it's starting to close up now. Oh, okay. I know it's not what you wanted to hear. He was stood with his face pressed to the window, his rancid tongue dragging along the glass as his bloodshot eyes focused on the soggy, wet red tissue on the side. I said, well, you can have this, but he lurched at the window pane. I said to him, you need to move away from the window. No, I'm serious now. Move back. 2 meters, at least. I dropped the tissue on a plate. I mean, the cut had started to seep open again. I squeezed down hard on my finger and, you know, the cut opened up again. So I generously dropped some blobs on the shiny saucer for him. I said to him, I seriously do not want anything for this. Do you know what? In fact, I don't even want the plate back. But you need to distance. Otherwise, I am not opening the window. Well, he was just mesmerized by the glistening pool and the red polka-dotted plate. His eyes never faltered, but he slowly moved back from the glass. I think he knew I meant business. I grabbed my mask and I covered my face and I covered my finger for protection and to kind of stop the flow. I didn't want him launching himself at me, and I began to slowly open the window. He was edging forward, so, you know, shut it again. Move away, I said. Move away. 2 meters. No, actually more. 3 or 4, because I don't actually trust you. You've got no mask on, and I don't want you breathing all over me. I threatened to wipe the plate with a cloth. Oh, he backed away. I placed the plate, and I quickly shut the window. Oh, he attacked that plate, lapping up the blood like a dog with juicy bone, sucking on the soggy tissue as he left. I didn't even see him go. I found myself on the floor, lying on the spotted floor, feeling like I was waking from a bad dream. I got up all woozy-like, and I looked at the state of myself. I was covered in red spots like measles that attacked my clothing. I found a scraggy piece of lint in the drawer. I wrapped it around my finger and then I whisked it round and round and round with reams and reams of sellotape. It would have to do. It's all I had. I'd gone off cooking and red peppers, and the idea of fries with ketchup was making my stomach lurch. The fridge was empty. I'd been scraping up crumbs for several days and the food delivery wasn't due for another day or two. There wasn't even a morsel of cake or a cookie crumb in the house. Daylight, aerobics, and boob bouncing was a long way off, and I really wasn't in the mood for another debate tonight. There's only so much fighting one can have with oneself. So I made myself a drink and I watched the sunset. Then I watched the moon rise and I caught a shooting star in the palm of my hand. I listened to music, I did my nails, and I tried to read a book. I wrote a poem, and then at midnight I baked a cake. I drew blood and I gave blood. Well, in my semi-comatose fainting state, I did. My imagination and my craziness ran away with me, as it had yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. I made it through another day, like we all made it through another day. All of us, every one of us in this crazy pandemic. But I stayed in, and I stayed safe, and I locked in and I locked down, alone and alive. Just a little crazy.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Yeah, be careful of low-flying vampires, folks. And I cannot sing the praises of Diane enough. She's been so fabulous on my Quirky Voices beginner's voice acting course, just so I could give the lowdown on all the things that you need to do to get stuck into being a groovy as possible indie voice actor. And I'm really proud of all the folks who've joined this Quirrologue adventure, acting in some of their first audio fiction fun. So, huzzahs to all my quirky student graduates. Now, this next one I wrote inspired by a good few friends who are separated by land, sea and sky at the moment from their loved ones. Hugs to you if that's you. You will meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, etc, etc. I asked the wondrous Caroline Minx to voice the main character after hearing Caroline in her brilliant audio fiction season called Seen and Not Heard about living life as someone hard of hearing, because she is, and so therefore shared her experience in theatricalised audio form. It's a wondrous show. Go listen. You can find all links to that on the show notes. So go check that out after you've listened to I Missed Them, I Missed Them, I Missed Them by Sarah Golding.
Oh, I missed them. I missed them. I missed them so much. I wanted to start again. Break it off. I couldn't cope with not seeing them for so long, and the dark thoughts just creep in, don't they? Maybe it's better to wait till things are normal, whatever that is, and then start clean over. Ugh, current obsession with clean. Well, I am clean and sober, have a clean bill of health, making my home clean, cleaning up my act, and you know, if I am talking to myself out loud, as it's the only time I speak at the moment, I gotta say, world, I want to come clean. It will all come out in the wash, but I think if anyone is listening, on reflection, and oh, have I had time for lots of that, I think I love them. Yes, I think I very much do. Yes, walls, yes, floors, yes, drapes of my womb-like home, I can't stop thinking about them. Absence makes the heart grow fickle, confused, jealous, anxious, fonder. Yes. Today, I feel fonder. Ugh. Right. Tea. I need tea. How am I coping in this lockdown, Kettle, you ask? Well, lockdown, season one, meant they couldn't come up at the weekends as usual, or I couldn't go and stay with them in their, quite frankly, mansion of a house compared to my one-bedroom, six-floor flat. And it's so hard being apart. I mean, it's been months now, and we obviously can talk on the phone, and they've got a Zoom account for their work, so we use that to watch movies and cook the same meal at the same time on date nights, and they're a better cook, just by a little bit. Ugh, who am I kidding? I so wish they could pass me their finished dishes through the screen. Much better than my bland, squelchy efforts, but it's not the same. Not the same. I miss touch. The vibrations of their voice. Their smell. I miss their heat. I mean, my feet on their cold back was bliss, right? Their arms enfolded around me. Them whispering into my safe space. My warm. Ugh, their smell. They never told me their scent of choice. Wait, it's not scent for them, is it? Aftershave? I don't know. I wish I knew what their scent or shave was. I'd buy it and spray it everywhere. Everywhere. Actually, maybe just on the bedding. Don't want my place smelling like a boudoir. They left a jumper here the last time, and I stupidly washed it, so it smells of my washing powder now, not them, but I still sleep with it, hugging it tightly like some child missing a parent. Weird, huh? Yeah, it is weird. I get that. Weirdly weird. This lockdown is sending me weird. They had a temperature a few days ago, they said. They haven't posted on their usual social media platform thingamadoodles, and I am starting to get worried. They haven't texted. Not even sent me their emoji of the day since, Tuesday? No, nothing. Do I call their work, or is that too needy? Are they proper sick? Do they have the virus, or are they just sleeping something else off? I mean, we don't exactly share what we do of our everyday. Well, they don't. I saw a Facebook tag of them in a bar with a friend on a friend's account from a few days ago. Looked like they went onto someone's house. With my bubble, it said on the smiling pic, too smiley, too close. Am I meant to read more into that, with my bubble? Why can't I be in their bubble? Why can't I be with? Oh, can't help but feel jealous of that. Greener than green. Hulk got nothing on me. Oh, I can talk myself into such worry, huh? Especially if they didn't tell me. They didn't tell me they were going to bars still. It's stupid at this stage of lockdown, I think. I did say to them, I said, it was stupid. Well, not actually to them, but in my head. I think they'll close them soon. The bars. Bar us from the bar. Bar, bar, bar. Just when people need them the most, huh? I could do with a proper drink right now. I've only got neat gin left. No tonic. I suppose I could mask up and go to the shops and get some, but not everyone is wearing a mask at the moment. That's a bit mad, huh, world? I'm a bit scared to go out, to be honest. Simple things like going in the lift and pressing the buttons become trauma-inducing, virus-avoiding moments. How much stale air is trapped in those things? How many germs multiplying in the buttons? I just take the stairs, but I don't touch the banisters. So, with my coordination, that's quite dangerous. And thankfully I can open the door with my butt, my ever-expanding lockdown butt. All this unseen peril keeps me on the edge. Now, world. And when I'm outside, it seems it's just walking in a wide arc around other folks to avoid them in my face and in my space. I don't understand why some folks seem to just be acting like things are normal, whatever that is. I mean, it's so confusing right now, what we're being told we can and can't do, huh? Oh, it hits me in waves. I was trying to distract myself from it by making two cups of tea, making two meals. I'm all alone here right now. Alone! Alone, alone, alone! All by myself! We're all alone, really, aren't we? In a way. In our heads, in our minds. Even in the biggest crowds, we are often very much alone. How profound. My company is a ticking clock. Hello, clock. And the passing traffic. Hello, traffic. And whatever doom and gloom news report there is. Hello, news reader. And, I can't see the end of this. It doesn't seem temporary anymore. There's no horizon, even. And I just want a hug to feel. I want to talk to someone who is actually here in the room with me. Not me, myself, and I, or the clock, and the traffic, and the stern face in the TV, but someone else. Anyone. Now. Not through a cold glass screen on Zoom or on the phone. I vibe on people's presence. Vibe. I love the word vibe. 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 Being furloughed isn't helping. No. I'm a bit worried about money. But then, who isn't? Who isn't? Are you worried, Mrs. Teacup?
Well, yes I am, but I'm more concerned that you're giving me a voice, to be honest. So, I agree, you need to see someone. Probably a professional.
I wonder if I could ask them if I could move in? Would that work? I could do their house up for them. I do love to decorate. I just moved this furniture around again this morning to a few knocks on the ceiling from him below. Silly old git. But I hope he's okay. I started to harmonize gently with his singing this morning. He was going through his Beatles catalog. He put Love Me Do on in his kitchen, and I could clearly hear it as I lay in. Dreaming of holding my love, my heart's desire, of whispering in their ear, having them gently caress my lily-white arms, and then our eyes meet, and oh, I miss them. I miss them. Why aren't they calling me? Where are they? Why aren't they answering my texts? Why won't they pick up when I call? Are they sick? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, it's them. Oh, hello? You're outside the front door. Really? For the night? Sure, I guess. But you've been out in bars and things, and I've worked so hard to be in isolation, and it was from last year for her birthday. Oh, so you didn't go out? Well, yes, only a little bit jealous. She's married. Oh, good for her. Good for me. What? You've done that for me? Oh my God. Clock. They've been isolating so they could see me. Oh, I think I'm going to cry. And yes, I just shared the news with the clock, my new friends. That's the loveliest thing anyone's ever done for... Bring gifts, too, and food and wine from online? Yes, we can wipe them down with Auntie back together. Oh, the romance. I missed you so much. I missed you. I missed you, and I can't wait to kiss you. Oh, yes. Sorry, that was forward. You love it when I talk like that? Right? Wow. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I repeat everything at the moment. I haven't actually spoken in real life to someone for months. Sure. I'll buzz you. Sorry. Didn't mean to leave you out in the cold. Come on in. Up. In and up. And I am sorry. I am far too excited to speak to someone that isn't me. I'm loony vibing all over the place. Oh. Yes. I love that word too. Vibe. Okay, no, I won't hang up until you're here in front of me. Yes, we can do that. Stop. You want to... What? Oh my... The neighbors, you saucy brisket? No, I'm not sure what a brisket is. It's the first thing my brain thought of. I think I'm a little bit, overwhelmed. Is this really happening? Oh, good. But yes, don't take the lift. Hurry up the stairs, because virus. Don't touch the handrail, because virus. It's only six flights, because I love on the sixth floor. Liv, sorry, I meant that. You want me to keep talking? You sure? Any confessions to make? Okay, I'll come clean. Talking of which, to be sure of cleanliness and no viral particles entering on you, maybe when you get up here, shower first? Shower, everything. Yes, even the flowers. Shower the flowers for hours and shower me with compliments and, yes, let's drink to us. Keep talking. Okay, I'm not sure what to say. Okay. Yep, I'll just, riff. Okay, experimental sentiments are the rudiments of confidence. And once I thought that we were over, now I see we've just begun. Cannot wait to see you up here. Start afresh and love someone. Oh my, yes, I said it. No, don't stop coming up the stairs. What? Did you just... Say it again. and again? Oh, you do? You do? Well, I do, you do too. Yeah, yes. Well, I agree. As soon as you're here. Yes, I will. And yes, you will. Well, I can't wait to read it from your lips. Yes. Okay. But first, let's start today. Clean over. I'll start the shower.
I love a happy ending, don't you? I'd love it if all of my friends that were single right now suddenly met someone lovely. And I wish I could join them up together, but they're not really that kind of jigsaw. sadly. I'd love to matchmake, though. If you need a match made, ping me a message, say what you want. I'll see if I've got a friend who can help. But it just made me think, you know, what would you do to make sure you could be with the one you loved? And, oh, new love. If you're in a new relationship this year, this like last few months or what have you, I am sure it is even more amazing to celebrate your union of fun. And to be honest, if you've been in a relationship for over 20 years or more, like what I have, wow, you're still going. Congratulations, you managed that, huh? How have they put up with you? That's what I think every second. So yeah, do realise what you've got while you've got it, because there are loads who want it and don't have it. So don't squander it, because that's rude. For it is precious and warm and good, I hope. This last piece was born of pondering and thinking of the trials and tribulations of the female generations precious to me and mine, transposing the events of now to their lifetimes and their eras, and also thinking about what they've had to contend with, and make do and mend, and Dunkirk spirit it up large. I don't know what would have happened if this happened in my 1970s, 90s, 40s, 30s. I just don't know. But it's happening now, and we have to deal with it, right? And just bally well crack on. Here is What Do We Know of Our Grandmothers by Sarah Golding.
What do we know of our grandmothers? Faces raised, heads up, sleeves rolled. They were brave, no nonsense, resilient folks. Did they do what they were told? What do we know of our grandmothers? Fighting for equality. They spearheaded life as we know it now, and it's getting better, huh? Agree? What do we know of our children? Fighting more internally. With this world we deflate selfish actions, though great, inert futures yet to see. What do we know of our own true self? Are we contributing well for the good? Can the fight of the ancestors that trod here before ignite light in us all as it should? What do we know of this world that we share? Cultures, creeds, riches, crude poverty. We ignore those in need for resource and for greed. It's our fault. Let's begin now to care.
Well, I have been blessed with many strong women in my world. And so, to you, I say good health and happiness and long length of life to all who hear this. This has been episode 2, and my goodness, such fun. Thank you for all listening. Please do share with your pals if you've enjoyed it, and do drop me a line on quirkyvoices@gmail.com if you want to give any feedback or ideas, or write your own response to any of these monologues, poems shown in this short season of audio joy. And do check out the show notes for links to all sound effects used in this groovy little podcast. I must say, freesound.org is your friend. If right now you can't afford sound design packages and sound libraries, there's plenty there with a Creative Commons license. With no attributions that very kind people have put on there, you can use for your every whim. If you'd like to help me build a sound library for Quirky Voices, feel free to contribute to my Ko-Fi or become a Patreon and join in the fun. Get episodes before anyone else. New scripts, new ideas, new Sarahisms. Maybe you don't want that. But anyway, it's fun. join them. I am hugely grateful to all of my Patreons. Thank you so much for even just a dollar a month makes a massive amount of difference to what I can give back to all the creatives in contributions of volunteering their time to come play on some quirky fun. I truly hope you have the best of days. Don't forget to do the smiley thing if you're feeling low. It's helped me for sure. Thank you to Jacqueline Ashman, Fiona McKinnon, Diane Alexander, Caroline Minx for their audio awesome today. Then do check the show notes, as I said, to find out more about them and where you can find them and their creative wares. And huzzahs for burgeoning creativity in this current crazy. The theatres will be open once more. You will be able to visit museums and parks and places of cultural interest and family and friends and pubs and glorious celebrations with impunity once more. But until then, let's keep creating. Have fun, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.